This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the kids' canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members again, and welcome to the Kids Canoe. Now, we left off and we were talking about our parents. We talked about our mom being the strong glue of the family, and we talked about the father being the leader of the family. You know, parents have a lot of responsibilities. They have to love their children. They have to discipline them. And that's really a difficult part. I remember that was a part that really... I really failed at a lot in my raising my children because it was really tough to discipline. But we have to respect them. We have to be consistent with them. We have to set an example for them. We don't want to provoke them to wrath, and we want to train in the nurture of the Lord. So the father is especially, he's got to be the disciplinarian in the family. He's got to set an example for everyone. You know, one of the things that we learn actually is back when we were talking before about 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, we have to remember that, you know, what happens is there's a saying the Romans said, it's qualis rex, talis crex. And what it says is this, like king, like people. So one of the things is our parents, they say something called apples don't fall far from the tree. So our parents have a great responsibility because they're going to imitate us. They're going to actually follow us. So we want to make sure we give them a great example. And one of the things I want to bring up, and I'm going to do this periodically, is things in nature. And I want to bring up a little creature that I really had a lot of knowledge about. It was called a beaver, the American beaver. And one of the things is, in fact, there was a television program back in the age when actually television programs were all about families and about good values. It was called Leave It to Beaver, and that was one of my favorite programs. But, you know, I had a really great experience with beavers because at the place where I did overnights for Baltimore County Public School was called Days Cove. And we had a giant beaver lodge that was a bank lodge. In other words, they built it on the side of a bank. And one of the things I did was I went out there in winter, and it was about, I don't know, 15 degrees. And I went up to the top, and because the little moisture that was on the branches and everything, I was able to walk right on top of the dome of the beaver lodge. And there was what we call an air vent. And what I did was I had a thermometer, and I went on a long cord, and I lowered it down to see what the temperature was like in the center of the lodge. I was amazed because here I was standing on this lodge, and it was about 15 degrees. And when I lowered it into the beaver lodge, it was almost 60. It was 59 degrees. Wow. You know, one of the responsibilities of our parents is to provide a nice home for us. And the beavers certainly did because they were protecting them from the cold. And that's part of what our parents do. In fact, if you remember, I was talking about Hebrew words. And one of the Hebrew words that we use today is the word jacket. And what does a jacket do? It keeps us warm. Okay, so it protects us. So, you know, it's kind of interesting the way the beavers work. And not only that, I decided also I had another thing. I had a microphone with a long cord. I lowered the microphone down into the beaver lodge. And this is some of the sounds I heard. They were the kids. They were the babies. And they were in there nice and warm with their parents. They were together. And then I heard this. I heard them chomping on the wood that they were eating. They were actually eating the outer layer of twigs and branches. And it was really interesting because I was able to play that back for the students when we visited the lodge as part of our trip that we took on the hike that we went. And one of the hikes that was very popular was the hike to the Beaver Lodge. So they're really important to us. And, you know, one of the things that also our parents gave us, which we forget about, and one of the things is they gave us our name. Some of us even got our name before we were born, while we were still in our mother's womb, and they decided to give us a name. And here's some names that I just happen to recall. Natalie and Daisy and Gabby and Sean and Zay and Jacob and Olivia and Anna, Sabrina and Maddie and Sophia and Hannah and Bella and Tiffany and Kirsten and Lisa and Pamela and Caitlin and Gemma and Stephen and Paul and Jared and Christian and Sam and Richie and Patrick and Nate and Alex and Fernando and Dave and Jonathan and Nick and Austin and Anthony and Joe and Dominic. You know what those names are? They're all the members of my choir at Good Samaritan Ministries. And one of the things that's important is to remember people's names. You know, when we meet someone new, the first thing we should do is to learn their names. When I was teaching at high school, in Sparrows Point High School, I made it a mission that within the first week of school, I would know all 150 names of the students that I had. And I had a good memory, and it stressed me to learn them all, but they really liked it when you could call them by name. And, you know, it was important as our parents giving us our name. And, of course, our last name then connects us to a wider group called our families and our extended families. My last name, Swiston, and all my children are named that. And then, of course, the ones that got married had to change their names. But that's an important part of us, our name. But you know what? Here's the most important part. It's in Revelation 2:19. And this is what the Lord says. I will give you a new name written on a white stone, which no one knows but you. Whoa, he's going to give us a new name on a white stone. In fact, I have a surprise for my choir, because after we learn the song that I'm going to play shortly, after we learn it and sing it, I'm going to give them all a white stone with a name embroidered on it in gold. Okay, so this song we're going to basically stop and play for you is a great song, okay? It's called A New Name Written Down in Glory, and it's by a group called Casting Crowns. Okay, wow. We have a new name written down in glory. Remember that white stone that we're all going to receive when we see Christ, and he's going to give us a new name written down in glory? I love that song. It said, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And while the right word angels sing the story, I shine and when I'm at home. So this is an important song. So I really enjoy playing songs, and that's part of what I do at Good Samaritan. We have a choir. Now we're going to talk about one of the things that we see in the opening songs that we sing. basically he's got the whole world in his hands. We're going to now talk about hands. And I'm going to actually give you special letters that represent in Hebrew hands. And, you know, one of the most complex and beautiful engineering marvels that God has is the hand. It gives us the power to grip, but also allows us to manipulate small objects with great precision, like one who's playing the piano or the guitar or the violin. It's very versatile. And you know what's funny about it? Most of the muscles are not in the hand itself. They're in the forearm. And one of the things I remembered when I was thinking about this is my children all wanted to get into climbing. We took a course in how to climb, and we went to a place called Rock State Park, and we would climb. And one of the things I found is, do you know that I could actually hold my entire body on just one finger at times? It's amazing how strong it is, but yet how also can be delicate enough to play an instrument. So it's a wonderful thing. In fact, I remember one of the stories in the Old Testament about Gideon. He had so many men that wanted to go fight for the Lord that he had to eliminate some of them. And so what he did was he had them come to a watering hole, and he had some that, to get a drink. They just bent down and slurped up the water, and others cupped their hands and they brought it to their mouth. That's the ones that got selected, the 300 that actually served in Gideon's army. Now, one of the things I look at that's kind of interesting, when I look at my hands, especially my left hand, I see lots of scars there. And it's an interesting story as how that happened. When I was just 10 years old, I got a new football for Christmas. And then we were living in Baltimore County, and it was this empty field that we had turned into a football field. And my parents had given me the football, and we were playing. There was about a dozen of my friends there. And all of a sudden, these three boys who were sort of in a gang, and they were much older than us, they came over, and they looked at me, and they said, "We want that football." Well, I grabbed my football and held it in my right hand as strongly as I could. And I said, "You can't have it." And then my friends started to gather around because they saw that they were trying to take my football, and they were going to help me. But then the boy that was the leader pulled out a switchblade, and he pointed at me. Well, a lot of my friends backed off, but don't ask me why, but I went right after him and grabbed his hand that held the knife. Well, unfortunately, he was stronger than me, and when he ripped it away, it caused me great damage. In fact, the tip of my middle finger almost fell off. He had cut it so deeply. So I can remember that story quite well, because all I have to do is look at my hand, and even today, you can still see the scars from it. But, you know, sometimes in fighting for what we believe in, it's going to leave us scarred. But, you know, those scars, the Lord's going to take them all away. Remember I told you about the Lord hugging us, and all the broken things that are broken in our bodies will be all put back together again. So one of the things that I learned, very important, was the fact that a hand is very important. It's very sensitive to temperature. You know, you can put your hand out and it's when it's 40 degrees in the air, but put it in the water and it gets really cold. In fact, you have to really worry about having what's called hypothermia. So one of the neatest parts, the most special part of our hand is our thumb. It's an opposable thumb, and it allows us to grasp things. And one of the creatures that I happen to know quite well, because he gave me a rough time at Day's Cove, it was a raccoon. And this raccoon, we would be putting our lunches in the back of a canoe, and we were bringing all the canoes down for students who were going to come and canoe. And a lot of times when we were busy working, a raccoon would run out and grab our bag of lunch and run off with it. Well, one day I happened to leave some extra bit of bait that I had in a crab pot, and he had crawled in there and got trapped. Well, what was really funny is I said, "Oh, wow, it was a baby raccoon, and this is the one that had been stealing our lunches." So what I decided to do was I hoisted the crab pot high in the air and tied it off on the limb of a tree, and I was going to have all the students come and see it before I let them go. Well, I was walking down with a whole group of students, and just so you know how big the group was, I would lead 80 students from an entire fourth grade, plus their parents, chaperones, and their teachers, and we would lead them out in 40 different canoes out into Day's Cove. Well, one of the things that happened was the raccoon, when he saw all of us coming down the trail, he was able to reach out and grab the piece of rubber that was hooked on to the top, unhook it, and he climbed on top. And then when he saw us, he jumped down to the ground and ran off. So they have a great ability to basically be able to use their thumbs Okay, and actually they're not true thumbs, but they actually can grasp things. And I remember that raccoon. I also had another creature that we used and we had as part of our program was an opossum. An opossum has not only opposable thumbs, but also has them on his feet. It allows him to use them in special ways. However, you know, our thumbs are really unique, okay? They have a capability that basically is very important. In fact, sometimes when people lose their thumbs, they will actually have the doctor take off their big toe and put it on for their thumb because that's how important it is. And so that thumb allows us to grasp things, allows us to hold on to things. And so one of the things that we're going to see when we get to heaven is we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see him, you know what he's going to have in his hands? Yes, his nail-scarred hands. It's going to always remind us of how he rescued us from sin and its deadly consequences. So what we want to do is now we're going to learn some new letters. Remember, I'll review very quickly the word for mother. Okay, remember it was the kaf. Remember it was the aleph, which was the bull with strong horns, strong. And then it was the M for water, strong water. And then remember the word for father, okay, ab or abba. And that was, again, the strong a strong bull, and then it was the tent plan, okay, like a G laying on its side. Well, now we're going to learn something new. The word for hand in Hebrew. In fact, we're not even going to get into the word for hand. Let's just get into the letter, which actually is pictorial for the hand. It's called a yud. Now, a yud looks like an apostrophe. So if you know apostrophes, for example, if you're saying that this is my pencil, you will say, this is my pencil, or this is John's pencil. Say your name is Bill. Okay, this is Bill's pencil. Now, what you would do is you write the word B-I-L-L, and then you'd put an apostrophe S, meaning that that's a possession that you hold. So we can see that the word for a pictorial word in Hebrew is the yud. It's the 10th letter. Yud means hand, okay? Actually, if you look at it, it's a hand attached to the arm also. So there's our first Hebrew letter that we're learning now. Now we learn the aleph, which is the bull, and we learn the mem, which is looks like letter M, and then we learned again the aleph for first letter of the word for father, ab, and then the bet, which is the bet, is simply a G on its side, which is a picture of a tent plan, because the father is the leader of the tent, the leader of the home. And then now we learn the word yud, which is an apostrophe, which gives us an idea of possession. But, you know, there's another letter. Okay, so we have now another letter that actually also means hand, and that's the kaf. And the kaf looks like a backward C. So we have an apostrophe for yud, and we have a backward C for the kaf. Now, the kaf is an open hand. Now, it's really important about the open hand because it was interesting. I have actually can see these reliefs that were made of Assyrians and Babylonians shaking hands. This is something that's handed down to us today. And a lot of times when we meet someone, we shake their hand. Well, actually, back then, the reason you would shake hands is you would prove there was no weapons in your hands, something that could hurt you. So we see that the kaf is an open hand, and then we see the yud as a closed hand. So we get the two together, and we see that it's able to openly accept, and it's also openly to grab onto. So it's a great, good pictorial. And one of the things that happened to me is I used to love to swing on ropes. In fact, one of the things I did when I was a child, I would look for these grapevines that were on trees, especially on a branch that hung out over a little ledge or cliff, and I would swing on them. I loved doing that. And one of the things that happened that was really interesting is the circus came to town, and my friend Mark, his father was a police officer, and he would actually help during the parade when the circus would come to town. We would all line up on Howard Street, and you would see elephants and giraffes, and you'd see camels and lions in cages coming down the street. And one of the things that was interesting about it was that Mark's father was given two special tickets to learn during the setting up of the equipment to learn how to swing on a trapeze. And Mark actually used one of the passes, and I was given the other. It was really an experience for me because I remember this really well because they were telling me, and I was hooked up to a wire so that if I fell, I wouldn't fall into the ground. But one of the things is I was able to swing out, and it was a man on the other end, and he would clap his hands, and then I would let go, and he would grab me. Well, I remember the first time he clapped his hands, I didn't let go. I was so afraid. But then the next time I let go, and he grabbed me. And, you know, that's one of the miracles of our hands. We have a hand that can be open, but also a hand that can grasp. And I love swinging on vines, and I love that trapeze experience. And then something actually happened that was not so pleasant. I was to a place called Cunningham Falls State Park, and there was a vine. And I was right on the edge of a cliff. I went, wow. And the vine was a little different than the grapevines I used to swing on. The vine actually was sort of hairy. It had all these little hairs on it, but I grabbed onto it anyway, and I enjoyed swinging on it all day long. And then when I got home in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I had poison ivy. I was swinging on a poison ivy vine. So it's important for us to recognize we have hands that can grasp, but we better be careful what we grasp onto. You know, there are false truths, there are lies, and so forth, or there are vines that actually can hurt us, like that poison ivy vine. And, you know, I remember always watching a show called Tarzan, and there was Tarzan and Johnny Weissmuller, who was played Tarzan. I used to love watching his shows and so forth, and he would always swing on those vines. So it's important for us to basically understand this whole concept of hands. We hold our hands out to welcome people. We shake their hands. And then when we need to, we hold on to them tightly so that they don't fall. And this is one of the things that we learn that God has in Scripture. It says he keeps us from stumbling. He holds us up. Remember my experience with the bicycle? Okay, how he protected me from dying. Then there was another thing that happened to me. And it happened really at a special time. It was May 25th. 1986, okay? And what happened was there was a special day that America had assigned that we were going to have something called Hands Across America. And I can remember because my wife and my five children, we all walked down to Pulaski Highway, which ran from east to west. And one of the things is we looked down, and it was just people all the way down as far as I could see and up there. And then a big trailer came along, and it was playing a song, Hands Across America. And then we held hands and then held them high in the air. You know, this is when really was a great experience because one of the things we learned is that we're all one here in America. And I couldn't believe it, but do you know how many people participated in this? 6.5 million people on May 25th, 1986, held each other's hands across America. And, you know, this is something we should be aware of. Remember, we talked about actually helping people and taking them, bearing their burdens when we need to. This is an important thing that we need to remember as Americans. You know, we pledge allegiance to the flag, that one nation under God. Okay, so this was important. Now, I want to mention some things. And again, remember, I was talking before about how God brings experiences to us and how God also brings people into our lives. I just want to mention some of the neat things that happened to me, and maybe you had some of these things also happen. And one of the things is I grew up, for the first 5 years, we lived in Baltimore City, and we lived on a place called Belknap Avenue, and we were only a block from a big park. It was called Patterson Park. And I remember my parents, they both worked. And one of the things they did was they wanted to work to earn extra money to move out of the city and into the county into a single-family home. And to do that, they worked, but they also wanted to be with me. And so what they did was they worked on opposite shifts. My mother worked night at Social Security, and my father worked in the daytime at Glenel Martin's. And one of the things is there was just a short period of time between when my mom left to go on night shift and my father came home from work. And my Uncle Richard, he was a high school student at the time. He would come and watch me for that time. And one of the things he would do is during the time we were waiting for my father to get home, he would take me over to the park. And it was a wonderful park. It had a lake. It had ball fields. It had all kinds of special equipment to swing on, slides and so forth. And I remember several things that were really important about my neighborhood. One was we had these white marble steps. Everybody had these marble steps. And also I remember at the park, there was a cannons all on the top of this hill at Patterson Park. And I remember climbing on the cannons. And I'm going to tell you, there were several things I learned from this. One of the things is that we had their special events in the summertime, and that was concerts. And there would be big bands would come and play instruments, and it was really a great time. My parents would walk over with me, even when I was in a stroller. And one of the things that happened that was really, they remarked about it, is when I went there, I was sound asleep. And when they started playing music, I'd wake up and I'd be moving with the music. You know, even then, God had given me the ability to understand and learn about music. You know, scriptures tell us, sing to the Lord praise, okay? And also, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord actually sings about us, okay? So it's important. And I learned about that really as a young age. But then, you know, we had, remember those marble steps? My mother always, every Saturday, would go out and scrub them. Everybody in our neighborhood took pride in making sure that white marble steps, that they always shine brightly. And, you know, we have to do the same thing. We have to be washing with the water of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26 tells us. It also tells us to wash me clean and purify my heart and set me free in Psalm 51. And also it says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And you know, when I think back on those white marble steps and how my mother took such pride in making sure they were white and clean, I remember exactly that. Also, in Scripture, it tells us to make sure we're washing with the Word of God. In other words, reading the Bible, reading the Scriptures. And then the last thing I want to mention is at Patterson Park, there was those cannons that I sat on. And on the cannons, they were there because what happened was the British came in the War of 1812. They came and they captured Washington and burned it. And then they were headed for Baltimore. But right there in Patterson Park, it was a place called Hampstead Hill. It was the highest part on the park, and they had cannons. And guess what? The British were coming, and they were going to come right up there, but we stopped them with those cannons. And most of the things that we stopped them with were just the normal people that came out and dug trenches and helped the army. And then at the same time, the British were trying to attack us with their navy at Fort McHenry. And at both places, they were stopped. And remember, a result from this, the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hear at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars and the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Hope to see you again or listen to me next time. May God bless.
If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, and my email address, LUVH2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at LUVH2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, LUVH2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation. He's got it.